heard, and I'm one of the regional ministers for the Southeastern Baptist Association. I think you know Stuart Davidson quite well. I think he's been over here, preached a few times, and he's, as I've heard, he's preaching next week as well, which is great. And I have preached here before, but it was a few years ago. I came into this role in 2009, so sometime after 2009 I came and preached. But I also preached at Woodingdene Baptist Church in 1986-87 time, because at that point you were looking for a minister, and you had every leaving student at Spurgeon's to come down and preach, didn't you? And I came down, you didn't even think about me, so there we are. Yes, you are. Yes, you certainly are. But anyway, it's good to be here. Am I too loud?
Is it too loud?
I tend to be quite loud, so I don't usually use. Turn me down a bit, because it's always good. Okay, so I'll keep on talking. Otherwise, I won't hear. So it's good to be here with you this morning. As you know, I work for the Southeastern Baptist Association, of which this church is a member. And we have 160 churches, and they're all in Kent and Surrey and Sussex, and even a bit of northeast Hampshire. And I used to look after Kent churches, but now I look after the Surrey, Sussex, and Hampshire churches. So you're under my kind of oversight a little bit. Anyway, let's get to scripture, and hopefully. If I press this button, it works, brilliant. I've got a few PowerPoints for you to look at as well, if you wish to take a few notes. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. What do you do when your best plans have been disrupted, I wonder? Have you ever found yourself in a situation when you've made some specific plans and then circumstances came through and completely derailed those plans? Maybe those plans were even really godly plans that you were thinking were all about serving God and helping other people. And even then they got derailed in some way. I wonder if that's ever happened to you, I wonder. It has me, certainly over the years. Whether it was a holiday that was cancelled through COVID restrictions, remember those not so long ago? A health issue maybe, that prevented me from preaching on a particular Sunday in a church, or not doing something because a friend who was supposed to turn up didn't turn up. Well, looking at this passage here in Acts 25, the Apostle Paul was handpicked by the risen Christ to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to people, especially to the Gentiles, of course. And if you read the Acts of the Apostles and his letters, you will soon discover that Paul travelled a great deal. He travelled across the eastern part of the then Roman Empire. And he planted churches in cities all along the way. He ultimately wanted to go to Rome, did Paul, the centre of the Gentile world at that time. That was his great plan, was Paul's, to go to Rome and there preach Christ. My guess is that he pictured himself booking some sort of sailboat, travelling to that great capital city of Rome, setting up a tent shop, which you remember, I am sure, he was a tent maker, and he earned his living that way by making and selling tents and then preaching like he did in every city that he went to. I imagine that was Paul's kind of plan to get to Rome. However, it didn't work out that way, did it? As we should see from our passage here that you asked me to preach on this morning here in Acts 25, 1 through to 12, Paul's plan didn't quite work out the way that he thought it would. As I said, you've asked me to preach on this passage here, but you really need to know what has happened in chapters 21 to 24 to understand this part of the story. And if you've been here on Sundays since the beginning of the year, I believe that your preachers have covered Acts 20 to and right through to here in Acts 24 and 25. And last week, I think you looked at Acts 24, 1 through to 22. Here's a quick recap if you weren't present on those occasions. Paul went to Jerusalem to deliver relief funds that he had collected for the people who were suffering a famine there. And whilst he was there in Jerusalem, he went to worship God in the temple. And when Paul went to worship God in the temple, he was attacked by a mob there in Jerusalem. Falsely accused as well by the religious leaders of desecrating the temple. And he was threatened for murder, in an ambush. But then the Roman soldiers intervened. And the Roman soldiers were about to flog Paul when he played his Roman citizen card to them to escape an unjust beating. Paul was whisked away to Caesarea to be protected from this ambush that was going to happen in Jerusalem. Then he was kept in prison or under house arrest often by the governor Felix. Always a picture of cat when I think about Felix, but I'm sure he wasn't a cat. And he was put in a prison or house arrest for 2 years before he could even have a trial. You looked at that last week, I guess, if you looked at that passage. And then when he did get a trial, the religious leaders were plotting to kill him again en route to Jerusalem. Now, a new Roman governor named Festus came into office. And Festus was a just, he was an upright man, was he? He wasn't in office for very long, but eventually he died with an untainted name. He was a very fair and just leader. And even though he was a Roman, he had an instinct for Roman justice, did Festus. He had heard about this prisoner that had been detained for 2 years in prison. He's heard that religious leaders wanted him dead. He wants to make a good first impression on the religious leaders. So he brings Paul out of prison and tries to play some political games with him. That's the background of our text here this morning. Look at verse 9 here in Acts and 25. What do we read? We read this. Putting my glasses on so I can actually see what I'm reading here. There we go. In verse 9, then Festus, wanting to please the Jews, asked him, "Are you willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial before me there?" Paul knew that the Jews were planning to kill him en route, on the way. Paul wasn't afraid to die, of course, but he also didn't want to be falsely accused. Remember, Paul was a Roman citizen, and that had kept him alive thus far. He was faced here with two choices: to go to Jerusalem and most certainly be killed in an ambush on the way, or secondly, use his rights as a citizen to appeal to Caesar himself. And what do you read in verses 11 and 10 here? We read this. But Paul replied, "No. This is the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. You know very well I am not guilty of harming the Jews. If I have done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But if I am innocent, no one has the right to turn me over to these men to kill me. I appeal to Caesar," said Paul. Paul appealed to Caesar, and therefore Festus had no choice. So to Rome, Paul was to go as a prisoner. And you will remember that 2 years before this, the Lord had appeared to Paul and had promised Paul a trip to Rome, actually. If you look back in Acts 23 and verse 11, it says there, "The Lord said, be of good cheer, for thou hast testified concerning me at Jerusalem, so you must go and bear witness in Rome." That is what is taking place here. He went to Rome by the will of God. He was in chains, of course, something that would Paul would have preferred not to have been, I'm sure. He would like to have gone there and, say, set up shop and sell tents and did a bit of preaching here, there, and everywhere. But the course, excuse me, but the course, of course, our Lord hadn't actually told him how he was going to get to Rome. This was God's method for Paul. When Paul wrote to the Romans, he told them that he was praying to be able to come to Rome. And then he asked them to pray that he may come to Rome. And of course, he did. I believe he went to Rome by the will of God, and God used Festus in his plans for Paul. That's the passage that I've been asked to speak on this morning. I don't want to go any further, otherwise I'll be touching on the passage that other preachers will be speaking on in the coming weeks. What on earth can we learn from this passage before us? These few rather straightforward verses for us here this morning. What can we take home with us? And what can we chew over the rest of this day and over the coming days? Well, just think about that for a moment. Paul had wanted to go to Rome on his terms. He wanted maybe to a nice trip to Rome, as I said, and on his arrival in Rome, just carry out a preaching ministry. But remember, he has already sat in a prison for 2 years. And now he is going to Rome a prisoner and in chains. Why would God do that? Why would God allow such horrible things to happen to Paul here? I'm sure he asked himself that question many a time as he twiddled his fingers in that prison cell or under house arrest. Lord, I want to be about your business. I want to be about preaching the word. And here I am stuck in jail. Maybe we also ask the same sort of questions on occasions. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be a prison sentence we're under. But, you know, we want to serve God. And we really want to serve God in our lives. But we can't do it because of this or that or something else. Maybe God wants to say to you and me here this morning that he can use us in whatever situation we are in this morning. It might not be the way that we would want it to be used by God, but nevertheless, God wants to use us in his service and for his purposes, just as we are today. What does the song say? Here I am, Lord, wholly available to you. You know, we sing it, don't we? It doesn't say, here I am, Lord, just allow me to get ready and sort everything out, and then I will be wholly available. It doesn't say that, does it? When the Lord calls you to do something for him, more often than not, in my experience, he calls you to do that act pretty quickly. No matter where you are, what you are doing, and so on. I remember when I left school, I went to, eventually ended up at Wandsworth Borough Council, and I was a trainee accountant. I loved the job there, down in Wandsworth in London. That's where I was born and brought up, and I went to work for the council, and I had day release. It was flexi time. I earned really good money. I loved it in those days, back in the late 70s and early 80s. And then I became a Christian during that time. And when I was about 23, I remember I was sitting in my Ford Escort, CKE110T. That was the number plate. I remember it well. Sitting in the car park of East Hill Baptist Church, waiting to go to church or something. And I was sitting in there. And the doors didn't open. There wasn't lightning. There wasn't thunder or anything else. But I had this realization that God wanted me to give all that up and go to Bible college. Wow, that you don't know me, but you didn't know me at that time. That was a very big thing for me. because I love the work, I love the money, I love the freedom about being a local government accountant. But God called me, and within 6 months or thereabouts, I ended up at London Bible College. I didn't know much about the Bible because I didn't go to church much in my teenage years. I only went to church because I fancied the minister's daughter, but I didn't pay any attention to the preacher at all. But so I went to London Bible College, got a grounding in scripture to begin with, and during that time people were saying, we think you should be a Baptist minister, and that was the last thing I wanted to be. I didn't want to be a Baptist minister, but I went to Spurgeon's and they encouraged me to do the course there, and so I did. I came and I did a couple more years there, and I left and I became a Baptist minister. Never say no to God. That's all I say. But when God calls you, he calls you. And I often say to prospective ministers when they come and speak to me, saying, I think God's calling me into Baptist ministry. I say, tell me about your calling. Because sometimes in ministry, all you've got to hang on to is your calling to Baptist ministry. It's tough, it's hard, it's difficult. You certainly don't get paid like a local government accountant, and so on and so forth. But here's another interesting thing, though, here. As a prisoner, Paul would have been able to have an audience with the emperor himself. And there with Caesar, he would be able to proclaim Christ to the most powerful man in the then known world, as they say. How else would he have been able to get access to Caesar? It was all in God's planning, wasn't it? Even 2 years in prison, it's all part of God's planning. Here are a few things I've learned over 38 years in Baptist ministry. I started very young, by the way. First of all, God never works out, things out the way that I plan them. I often tell God what he should be doing. And I found out in my experience thus far that he very rarely does what I want him to do. As I say, when I became a Christian, and then a short while after that, so felt the call to go to Bible college. I never wanted to go to college. I never wanted to be a Baptist minister. I certainly never wanted to be a regional minister 13, 14 years ago. I wanted to be a youth worker. I wanted to be an evangelist. That's what I wanted to be. And I guess, again, what I've learnt over the years is to never say to God, I want. He wants to know what we desire, yes, and all the rest of it, but never demand from God. He knows the plans he has for us. He knows the plans he has for you as well. And also, there's always, seems to be, pain involved as well. I could share times in the various churches that I've been a minister of, times of great difficulty and pain that my wife and I went through. Sadly, I've often been hurt more by people in the church than those outside the church, if I'm totally honest, which is a sad reflection on the church sometimes. Sometimes it's been personal, sometimes it's been financial. And again, sometimes those church members that haven't been so kind to us. Sometimes there's always pain. And it's always, in my experience over these years, it always works out far better and radically different than I could have imagined when God calls you to do something for him. Despite the difficulties, God has always walked with me and seen me through those tough times. At the time, I wouldn't have acknowledged that, but looking back, it is somewhat easier to do that. Of course, during COVID, 20, 21, even part of 22, we were locked out of our church buildings, weren't we? Many of us had to work from home as well, and not see family and friends maybe for weeks, if not months. Even since COVID, you know, Brexit and Ukraine, of course, things always seem to be changing, don't they? Just turn on your TV sets and read your newspapers, or turn on the radio, and every day new things come up upon us, don't they? Maybe we need to learn a few things from Paul here. Why was Paul able to go on with his ever-changing circumstances? How was Paul able to keep on going, even though he was thrown into prison for a couple of years? How was he able to keep on going, looking to his Lord? Well, he was called Oh, I think it's frozen. Not to worry. Paul was certain of his mission at this time. That's what kept Paul going. He was certain of his mission. He was called by God. Remember on the road to Damascus, he was called by God to proclaim the good news of the risen Christ to all people. That's it. That's what kept him going through the tough times. What is your mission and my mission as an individual in these days? Is your mission, our mission in life, to achieve a certain level of income? Get a particular job or a particular status in society? I don't know. Is your mission to be correct and win every argument that comes your way and my way? Is our mission to be in control of every detail of our lives? Sometimes that's my mission. I like to be totally in control of what's happening in my life. It often doesn't work out that way, of course. But as a church minister here, as a church here, as you look for a new minister here, what is your mission as a church here? And how are you going to fulfill that mission? As a disciple and follower of Jesus, what is our mission today? What is your mission today? Quite simply, Jesus gave me my mission when he said to me back in 1979, when I was 19 years of age, you can do the maths, I want you, Paul, to do what I want you to do in life. He said that to me afresh when I was sitting in that car in the car park of East Hill Baptist Church in Wandsworth. He asked me to, well, he told me, he didn't ask me, he told me I just got to go leave my accountancy profession, go into Bible college, and eventually become a Baptist minister. He wanted me to build up people in their faith, preach the word, pastor the people under my care, and tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. That was my commission in life, and I've sought to follow that commission every day since. And what God wants for me may not be the same as he wants for you here this morning. But ask yourself, and more importantly, ask God, what do you want of me today, Lord? Are you open to God and his Spirit to direct you? Will you follow where he leads you? You may think, well, I'm too old, I'm not able to do as much as I used to, but God still has a work for all of us to do. I don't know exactly what God is saying to you as an individual, or what you need to hear right now from him. But please know this, the Spirit of God, I believe, is even here this morning. He is still working through all that is going on in the world today. He wants to use you and me in his service. He wants to use us in his Christian army, if you like, to see that many others come to know Jesus Christ themselves as Savior and Lord. Just as the Apostle Paul knew what his mission was in life, may we never lose sight of our mission to love God and to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Paul could have thrown in the towel very easily, couldn't he? During that prison time, he could have just chucked it all in and he would have been let off, I'm sure, at some point, said the right things and he would have been fine as far as the Jews were concerned. But he didn't. He knew that he had been commissioned by God to be an ambassador for Christ in the world in those days. And nothing was going to stop Paul from fulfilling the calling that he was given. What about you and me here this morning? We are to go into the world, even in this immediate area here, and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has risen, ascended, and he's coming back again. We don't know when, but sometime soon, Scripture says. And we are to make disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. I'm assuming that most of you here this morning are Christians, but maybe some of you have not yet made that step of faith. Maybe some of you did many years ago. But over the years, you've gone back into your old ways, as they say, and you've allowed the world, the flesh, the devil, to come back into your life. Well, maybe this morning, the Lord is knocking on the door of your heart to come in afresh. You may know that painting by Holman Hunt, where you have Jesus standing at a door in a garden, knocking. There's no handle. He can't let himself in. The handle's on the other side of the door. I wonder, will you transpose that into our lives? Are we going to open the door of our hearts to Jesus again, afresh this morning? It's not something we do once. It's something we do daily as Christians. Here I am, Lord. The door of my heart, of my life is open to you. Come on in and dwell with me and use me in your service. Maybe that is you. You've drifted away from the Lord. You need to reopen the door of your heart. If you're going on well with the Lord, praise God, continue to do that. And if you have not yet given your heart and life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, what is stopping you? You may have been coming to this fellowship maybe for weeks, months, if not years, but you still haven't yet opened the door of your heart to Jesus. May I encourage you? May I plead with you? As Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. Let Jesus Christ into your heart. You won't regret it, because you will be given the assurance of not only eternal life, but also, as an old writer, Lindsay Glegg, once wrote, he wrote a book called Life with a Capital L. It's not always easy. It won't be easy. Becoming a Christian doesn't make it all hunky-dory and fine and lovely and no problems. That's not true. We still have to live life. But we can be assured, yes, of life eternal and the fact that Jesus is walking with us day by day as well in our lives. Through the good times, the happy times, and the more difficult times. He is there. So this passage, say, it looks pretty routine, pretty mundane. You know, that's what's happening. Paul appealed to go to Caesar in Rome. Well, that's where God wanted him in the first place anyway. Took some time, but he went there in chains. And because of that, he was able to get an audience with Caesar. You'll be finding out what happened about that over the coming weeks, I'm sure. But Paul was dedicated. He never gave up. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that every word contained within its pages is relevant for us today. Sometimes we look at passages, Father, and we think, well, what's that going to say to me? But this passage for me, Heavenly Father, and I trust for all of us, has reminded us that we are to never give up. We are called to be your disciples in the good times and in the more difficult times. It was a difficult time for Paul, but he persevered. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll give us your strength, your power, your spirit to live for you day by day and never give up proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.